Welcome to AnimeCon's TV. This week I'm here with Grego.
Hello!
Notable game show host at so many conventions.
So many.
Do you have any idea how many it's been?
All totaled? Well, definitely I've done game shows at in the three-digit land now, so I'm probably... Yeah. Yeah, don't believe what you see on animecons.com the list. There's a lot more than that.
Yeah, that's just the ones you've been billed as a guest.
Right,
you've been
right.
Staff, you've been panelist. I've
just been the guy they put in the monkey suit and go, you go out there on stage, be entertaining, we need to fill time. Okay.
Now, what was your first convention?
First convention I did shows at?
No, it was just your first convention.
Okay. Very first convention I went to, there was a gal in high school who was a big Star Trek fan, and I was a big fan of her. And so we went to a Star Trek convention in Atlanta. And the reason I went, not only because I liked the gal, but... About 3 months prior, I had found a supplement in the back of an Electronic Gaming Monthly magazine devoted to anime, and there was something called Bubblegum Crisis in that supplement, and I was like, oh, well, this sounds very interesting. So when I'm going to this convention, I'm like, I wonder if they have this there, and they did. But they also had some bootleg tapes of Red Dwarf, and so I'm like, well, I'll buy the bootleg tape of Red Dwarf. And then I found out that my Blockbuster Video actually had Bubblegum Crisis and like five floor fixtures of anime, and this is 1994.
Yeah.
So it's basically everything available in English at my Blockbuster is on the south side of Atlanta, so...
Blockbuster had anime. Usually you have to go to little obscure shops.
Yeah, no, this Blockbuster apparently had a guy who really liked anime, so they ordered all of the things.
Nice.
So, but yeah, 1994 was my first, it was a Star Trek convention, my first actual anime convention would be 3 years later. I went to Akon in Dallas when I was living out there.
So that would be one of the first Akons.
It was 97, so that would have been 16. They had 20, number 24 this year, I think. So
close to
21. Yeah, one of the earlier ones. Yeah.
And so, when did you first do a game show? What made you decide?
Well, at Akon, they did a Jeopardy that was lackluster. And so I thought, well, I've been hosting game shows since I was five, you know, drawing Family Feud boards on the chalkboard in preschool. And so I was like, I can give this a shot. So the con chair was readily available, so I approached her and I went, hey, I want to do a game show. How would you feel about Match Game? And she was like, oh, I love Match Game. Yeah, sure, we'll do it. We'll do it. And then in 99, I did the very first Match Game with some now familiar faces for other reasons. But that first show had Tiffany Grant, it had Rodney Caston, who would later go on to create Megatokyo with Fred Gallagher, it had Jeff Tebbets, who at the time was a writer for Animerica, now he's a blogger from your old stomping ground, and then Anna Exter and Neil Nadelman were on that original one, who if you watched any anime at all in the 90s, more than likely it was translated by one or the other of them.
Yeah.
And then the sixth panelist, here's a bit that you can edit because I'm trying to think of the sixth panelist at the time. Oh, well, who remembers? And then a sixth panelist, who I apologize for not remembering the name of off the top of my head.
It'll come to you after we finish.
It will,
And so that just started your dark path into
after,
over 100.
After the show was over, someone... approached Neil talking about it, and Neil was like, oh yeah, this is always a good time, and I'm like, wait, this is my first one, so, you know, maybe I did okay, and they had me come back and do it, and I did it for the next 4 years there, and then I started branching out to other cons. Fortunately, at the time, my dad was still alive and worked for Delta, so I was a cheap date because, you know, if they were going to bring me out, you know, I was like a $50 plane ticket at the time because I flew cheap. So I think that the luck of that, I think, got me more conventions early on. And then, you know, 14 years later, it kind of has its own momentum and people enjoy the shows.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky enough to be able to do. I did 21 last year, looking like 22 or 23 this year.
That's so, half the year.
Yeah, I know.
Now, back then, you use a custom Flash application for all your different games.
Yeah, I do.
Back then, did you do Flash?
No. I didn't start using Flash for my games until about 2002. Prior to that, it was all props. Like, I actually...
With cardboard?
Yeah, what we would do is we would take foam board and then just cut out segments on the foam board and then have little slidey... And then work a sliding mechanism in that from when we're doing match game and we're sliding each individual one.
How the shows actually used to work.
Yeah, exactly. My nameplates were cool. My nameplates, actually, the British used the same thing for blankety blank. Because if you think Match Game is a cheap show over here, it was a cheap show in the UK. So what they would do was they had on the nameplates for the contestants, they would have little flip things on the sides for when we had a match. And actually made them out of wood so that they would spin. So on one side it would be blank, and then on the other side there'd be the symbol. And they smelled terrible because they were all spray paint and varnish, basically, to make it look good. So imagine if you're, you know, at the airport and you see this bag come in that's full of these spray painted blocks of wood. Delta lost one of those. I think that there's still a suitcase somewhere in Arkansas somewhere that has all of those those nameplates. So. Yeah, it was very low tech back then. I had a Diamond Rio for the sound effects, one of the very first MP3 players to market, with all of its 4 meg capacity, well, the 32 meg capacity.
Ooh.
With sound effects.
It was 5 songs.
That's right. So we had the theme song and the sound effects, and then maybe one little song to play on the airplane. So apart from that.
And so you've probably been to more conventions than anyone else we've talked to, although I don't know, Greg Ayers is...
I think Greg's probably still got me beat.
Yeah,
you know.
But it's close.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you see conventions doing that you wish other conventions would do? Because you've got this unique perspective of seeing the staff side and the attendee side. And so.
I wish that... there would be more attention to promoting things on the schedule. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, yes, you have a schedule, and you have a program book, and now you have guidebook to use with the smartphones and what have you, but the average attendee is still coming in, especially a new attendee, is coming in deer in headlights and just going, well, what is there to do here? And they'll wander into random rooms and maybe sit down, maybe not sit down. So I wish that, especially obviously for my shows, I try to promote them as much as I can. But if there's one thing that I wish conventions would do more of, it's actually dive into that schedule and go, here's something cool, here's something that you could expect to see. And then just really dig deep, and I mean, obviously that's a lot of work, but I think, because a lot of people go to conventions now and they don't even pay attention to the programming aspect, they're there to socialize, or cosplay, or be seen, and I think that if a lot more people actually see that there's some pretty fun stuff going on in those panel rooms, not necessarily my own stuff, but lots of different things, I think that way... the average congoer will have a richer experience and definitely come back and recommend it to friends and bring more people into the convention.
Now, you post a lot of your game show videos on YouTube, so
I do.
You do a lot of your own promotion.
I do.
Are there groupies, sort of, that follow you from con to con and game show to game show?
I do have a few of those. The interesting thing about what I do is it combines two things that have a very... vehement fandom that pays great attention to detail. This is kind of goes hand in hand with it, but there are a lot of fans of both anime and game shows who are really intense fans, and when you cross those circles, get some really interesting individuals. Obviously we get a lot of it on YouTube comments because that's what you get on YouTube comments.
Yeah.
But occasionally I will have a fan come up to me after the show and introduce themselves and introduce who they are on the board so that I will know who they are. And you know, some of those fans, it's just like, great, thank you for doing the shows, thank you, thank you. And then I see them everywhere and in the front row and they're like, Grego! And I'm like, okay, dial it down a little bit. I'm very happy that you enjoy what I do. I try to stay humble because, you know, I'm not Greg Ayers, you know, and I'm not, you know, Yoshitaka Amano, and I'm not, you know, I'm the person who came along behind and go, these people need to be entertained while they're here, so let's do this.
Yeah. Now, what makes a good contestant on the game shows?
The best contestants are, for my shows, are the same as the best contestants for television game shows. They are someone that the audience either wants to root for or wants to root against. And I've had
heroes and villains.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about heroes and villains. The best contestants are the ones that when they win the game, the entire audience just celebrates right along with the contestants. So, and then the worst contestants typically are the ones that probably shouldn't have drawn that card to get on the show in the first place, because they're really, really shy. You know, they know a lot, but, you know, once the pressure is on and, yeah, you know, the camera is on and I'm asking them questions,
they'll
directly,
just
they're
down,
just, yeah, completely shut down. I've had some contestants cry on stage before.
Now, what do you do in a situation like that?
Well, if I knew that the round had gone to enough of its completion to know that, yes, the other contestants are definitely moving on and this person is not, I have ended rounds early before. Like, I have some sound effects ready just in case to go, oh, and we're out of time for this round. So, and then, you know, quickly, yeah, quickly get them off the stage,
yeah,
apologize profusely for the experience and hope that, you know, that they're able to, you know, bounce back and so on, so.
Now, you work with a lot of convention guests in your game shows, too.
I do.
How do you get them? Do you approach them yourselves, or do you work with the convention staff?
A little bit of both. I have a lot of friends. I mean, like, 14 years of doing game shows at cons, I have a lot of friends now. Like, Tiffany was on the very first one. Tiffany's my go-to gal. I mean, she is the queen of anime match game. She is awesome at Pyramid. She's awesome at Password, and because she was a game show fan, too. So I have friends that I've made over the years like that, and usually if I approach a convention with some guests that have not done my shows before, but a few that have, I'll usually get one to vouch for me to go, yeah, he'll actually treat you well, you'll have a fun time, if there's any problems, he'll take care of it. And then if I'm at a con that has nothing but guests that I haven't worked with before, I have a large repertoire of games that don't use the guest, and I'll recommend to the convention, hey, I haven't worked with any of these folks before, just to make sure that I have a chance to talk to them for, like, next time, we'll just schedule games that don't need the guests.
Now, with over 250 conventions in the U.S. a year, you can't make it to all of them.
No, I can't.
What advice would you give to conventions trying to do their own game shows?
Well, first and foremost, whoever's doing the game shows, that needs to be where most of their focus is, so that they wind up making a quality product. I mean, if you just pull in two or three random staffers, throw them on stage and go, hey, play Pictionary or whatever, you know, they're not going to put a lot of effort into it, and the end result is kind of just not going to, it's just not, no one's going to have a good time. The best shows do have an element of planning. They need to have an element of professionalism in them. It's the same with any kind of panel. You can tell at any panel if it's something that was just thrown together in 5 minutes or just as a complete ad lib. I mean, you need to have this, put the same amount of preparation into something. So if you're going to go your own way on game shows, if you don't have someone who's dedicated, and you don't have to have me, but you do need to have some kind of interactive entertainment at your conventions, just make sure that either you have someone for whom that is their thing, or you go with something that's really easy, you know, like... improv is not easy, as you know.
Yeah. Just because you watch Whose Line Is It Anyway doesn't mean you can run Whose Line Is It Anyway.
Right. But there are
things.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, there are some things, like you can play charades. Like charades is something that's relatively easy to throw together.
Yeah.
I mean, Pictionary is, but Pictionary is kind of hard to do unless you've got a way, like you guys with the iPad connected to
Boston,
and Boston. Yeah, that works out really well because then the audience can all play along.
Yeah.
And just stay away from the straight trivia games, because no one's interested in knowing how much this anime fan knows.
Yeah.
If you're going to do trivia, have some sort of a twist or some sort of audience participation. Music games are great for that. I mean,
well, yeah, and I've seen a lot of Jeopardy games, anime Jeopardy, because you take the game show, plug anime in the title, and then...
it gets butts in seats,
yeah,
because it's something that's recognizable,
but... I've seen so many conventions where the questions are so specific that if you haven't seen episode 52 of Inuyasha, then and the contestants are just sitting there.
Yep. And the audience, and then the audience does two things. Number one, they're bored, and number two, they're angry that they're not the one on stage,
yeah,
because
they know.
It's like, why did you get these three, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would stay away from the straight trivia games unless they have a twist. Jeopardy's fine. If you're going to do Jeopardy, do it right. On the actual Jeopardy show, pretty much all the clues are written in such a way that if you think about it and you read what the clue is actually asking for, more than half the time you'll know the answer even if you, you know, even if you don't know, just because that's what a good clue is.
Now, if a convention's interested in... finding out more about the game shows you run, where can they find more information?
Well, the easiest way is to contact me either through my Facebook or through my YouTube. And conveniently now, because YouTube just changed the way they do things, they're both under Grego's Game Shows.
We'll have the link down here.
Oh, okay, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay, cool, yeah. But that's the easiest way, because I check the Facebook and the YouTube constantly, because, you know, I'm that sort of person. No, but that's the easiest way. I'm doing about 21, 22, 23 this year. But I'm also definitely open for any sort of questions, advice. I actually do license out some of my software. If you've got someone that is someone who I know has their head right with ball and will do right by the show, I actually do, from time to time, license out some of the software that I've done.
Cool.
So,
and for fans, where can they see? They can see it at YouTube.
Like Facebook.com/Grego's Game Shows. Again, there it is. And then the YouTube is searched on YouTube for Grego's Game Shows. We're doing an okay job of getting video online right now, but I'm in the middle of a long string of cons, so sometimes it takes a while for video to go up. But I assure you, when I have a break, that's going to be one of the things that happens, is you'll see a lot more video. So,
and if somebody's at a con and they want to participate...
Absolutely. For certain games, we do have a tryout panel, which will be on the schedule. For other games that don't require a whole lot of skill, we do random draws to decide contestants. But yeah, it really depends on the show. If it's a hard game, there'll be a tryout, just so we make sure that we have people on there who actually will do well and not be embarrassed.
Cool. Well, it's great to finally get a chance to talk to you for the podcast. And definitely check out his websites, and if you run a con, get him there. He runs great shows.
Thank you. Well, so does this man. So, you know, that means a lot for me to hear that from Patrick, because Patrick is there are a few of us who get it and understand that doing what we do at events needs to be all about making sure that the people who come are the ones that are entertained. For a little bit we do it for ourselves because it's what we love doing, but we both know that We're not game show hosts to be game show hosts. We're game show hosts to make sure that all the people who come are having a good time, because that's really what it's all about, is making sure that everyone's having fun.
Yeah, fun and games.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick.